Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace. This is Stephen Garchar, and my good friend Phil Gigliotti is in the land of Israel right now, and he and his wife are there for a little ministry time and just to visit the land. And he's probably in the area of Kiryat Shemona, which is in the north of Israel towards Galilee. And I know that he had had some speaking engagements there at Carmel at the Rivers of Living Water congregations that are pastored by our friend Irene Friedman and Adil Sapir. So Phil, Adil, and Irene, if you're listening, I know it's 2:30 in the morning there, but Shalom. So today, I know that Phil and I have been going through the book of Acts ever since the Feast of Pentecost. We've covered Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3, and talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles and the disciples in the upper room, and then just the transformation that took place in Peter's life and all the other disciples. And that awesome exhortation that Peter gave that first Sunday morning, at the first Sunday morning service. And there were 3,000 persons who were baptized and brought into the church. So I think the last couple of shows we have been doing are going to lead right into the show that we're going to do today. We have a good friend of ours. His name is Eric Carpenter. He's from Catholic Renewal Ministries in the Cleveland Diocese. And we're going to talk a little bit with him today about his journey and also what he does for Catholic Renewal Ministries and their upcoming conference on July 20th and 21st at Magnificat High School in Rocky River. So, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very pleased to be here.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just great.
Good. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? I've known you for several years. Just from different events in the diocese and with the Charismatic Renewal. I know you from the Twinsburg Prayer Group and also at the conference that we're going to talk about. But why don't you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been involved in the Charismatic Renewal for about 10 years. I'm a cradle Catholic. I was born in Wisconsin. I grew up there, attended school there. Went to the University of Wisconsin at Madison.
Okay.
And earned degrees there in English and also in library science. I started my career as a professor of English at a small Catholic college in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And then decided to become a librarian and worked before I came to Ohio, where I retired from Oberlin College Library. I was the collection development librarian at Oberlin. And before that, I was in New York. My family and I were there for about 8.5 years, and I was a librarian at the State University of New York campus at Buffalo, which is, you know, the biggest of the SUNY, S-U-N-Y campuses, as they're referred to.
Okay.
And we moved to Oberlin in 1981, came to Ohio, and so I've been in these parts for 31 years now.
Oh, okay.
And been involved in Charismatic Renewal for about 10. You know, I'm a lifelong Catholic, mm-hmm. But until I was 58 years old, I really knew a lot about the fear of the Lord, but I really didn't know about the love of the Lord. I had really not experienced it. And what opened up my life for me was the experience of the love of the Lord made manifest through the Charismatic Renewal and the baptism mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit. And that all started 10 years ago, actually, 10 years ago this summer in August of 2002, when I went to my first Catholic Charismatic Conference.
Was that in Cleveland?
That was in Cleveland. It was at Regina High School in those days.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was quite an experience. It started a journey for me that became intense very quickly, and that was in August of 2002, and in November of 2002, I attended a Life and Spirit seminar mm-hmm. and met the Holy Spirit in power, and it's been amazing since.
So was your life, would you say your life was changed just like the disciples in the upper room? And
In some ways, not quite so dramatically. I mean, I've lived a conventionally straight, I suppose you could say, life. You know, I don't have a dramatic conversion story where I was involved in drugs and great sin and all of that before, you know, I met Jesus. And
how'd you get on the program? I
was involved in a different kind of more respectable sin, okay? The sin of pride, the sin of arrogance, the sin that goes with being involved in academic life, you know, and that's a more subtle sin, easy to conceal, but probably worse in some ways, you know. Very proud of myself as a so-called intellectual, and I suspect pretty arrogant before the Lord. And I was shown my arrogance and my pride, and the Lord really started to convict me about that and started to show me who some of his favorite people were, the humble people, the people that he spent time with when he was on earth, and the people who are some of the people who I think are probably closest to him, you know, that I've been fortunate to be put in my path and shared some of my journey with. And they're wonderful people. And I began to see the Lord working through them and not so much through the, you know, through all the very smart people that I'd hung out with most of my life.
Okay. So you did have it. There was a transformation of yourself.
There was. Yeah. There was definitely inner transformation that went on. That's absolutely true.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot that you gave us that you gave some exhortation and 3,000 people came to the church, but that would be awesome if that happened. But
well, I did have one little experience that was pretty amazing for me. You know, I about 2 years after I got involved in Charismatic Renewal, I went to a Renewal Ministries school for evangelization at the University of Michigan near the campus in Ann Arbor. And part of our graduation exercise, in quotes, was to go onto the University of Michigan campus during the Ann Arbor Art Festival and actually do some street preaching. And I actually got up on a pillar in front of the University of Michigan Library where I had done a little work on behalf of Oberlin, and I stood on a pillar out there and I preached the gospel for about 5 minutes.
Oh, praise God.
And that was, you know, for me, that may not sound quite so dramatic, especially people listening who may have done street preaching, but for me, this was unbelievable because if you'd have told me 18 months earlier that I would be doing anything like that, I would have said, you are out of your mind.
Yeah, you're crazy. You know?
And so, yeah, there was some pretty serious transformation that went on.
Yeah. I know Phil and I will, you know, we talk about the disciples and just how they just, you know, even though there were three, even though they were walking with the Lord for 3 years, they just did not really get the whole picture of what the Lord was doing. And, you know, the promise of the Father, because even up until the time that Jesus' ascension, you know, they're like, okay, Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he's like, it's not for you to know that time.
Right.
You know, and then he goes up and they're standing looking and men of Galilee, why are you looking at the sky? You know, and so that transformation that takes place, when people do encounter the Holy Spirit and the love, you know, the love of God, the Holy Spirit is really the love that exists between the Father and the Son. And when we're immersed or baptized or, you know, another word for baptism is to dunk or to immerse. When we're immersed in the love of God, it's a transformative event in anybody's life. And some, you know, some people more dramatically than others, but nonetheless, you are transformed by, you know, the Spirit. And it's, you know, what Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. It's what John the Baptist referred to Jesus. He's going to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. He's baptizing with water, but, you know, the Lord's going to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And it transforms, you know, I've just seen so many people who have had this experience that their lives are transformed. And the Lord takes simple, ordinary people. Some are shy. Some are, you know, just would never think of standing up and doing a, you know, preaching the Bible in public, and you find that that happens. And so at this conference that you went to at the Cleveland Charismatic Conference back in 2002, was it?
Right. Yes, it was.
What was the, what would you say was the first thing that really, I guess, happened that, or that you heard that kind of
it
started you on the path.
Yeah, the it really involved a person, and the person was Patricia Mansfield.
Mm, okay.
Patty Mansfield, as most people involved in Charismatic Renewal know, was one of the participants in the original Duquesne University retreat February 1967, Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, where a group of students went with a couple of faculty members who were advisors to their group, Catholic students, and they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit falling upon them during this retreat weekend. They were praying for this. The weekend was all about the power of the Spirit to change things. And it changed them. I mean, really in a major way. There was a Catholic revival started there in a very dramatic way. And that was the beginning of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. It's now 45 years ago. This year in 2012, we're celebrating the 45th anniversary of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal's beginning. Anyway, Patty Mansfield was giving talks at this conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard her and, I started to think about my own life. In 1967, I was in graduate school at University of Wisconsin-Madison, and any of us with a good bit of gray hair that remember those times, especially college folks who've been in the academic life, remember what kind of a time that was in higher education, and especially at Madison, at in Ann Arbor, at Berkeley, California, at some of the major campuses, were really torn, almost torn apart. By dissension and by violence, by actual violence, directed largely against the president, then President Johnson, and the war in Vietnam. This was a very, very violent and very strife-filled time. And so I was wasn't actively involved in those protests, but I was in that environment, and it was very tumultuous and anything but peaceful. And I started to think about where I was in my life and what I was involved in, and where Patty Mansfield, who's only about 2 years younger, a year and a half younger than me, where she was and what was going on with her. And that juxtaposition started to really get to me. It was like, wow, something else was happening with people in 1967 other than, hate and cynicism and anger about Vietnam and all of those things. And, that combined with the need that I had to experience God and to feel some joy in my faith, which I really didn't feel. I was kind of there out of duty, and I felt like salvation was my responsibility, and I wasn't doing it. I was trying and failing. It was guilt and all of those things, and I needed release. I needed to experience God's love, in short. And so I really listened to what she had to say, and she talked about first person witness, about how the Spirit came, about how it fell on them. And she wound up, when she was praying on her knees in the chapel of the retreat place where they were, before the Blessed Sacrament, she wound up on her face, not consciously having prostrated herself, but forced down by the power of the glory of God, and just filled with joy, started praying in tongues. And she didn't, she had never done that or any, and the similar experiences of about 20 of her fellow retreatants that weekend. And, it just really started to get to me, God really does this kind of a thing. This happens to believers, and of course what was happening to me in retrospect was, I want this. I need this, So it was very, very powerful for me. And she really reached me,
When you hear somebody's personal testimony, and Phil and I do talk about this on the show. We love to hear people's personal testimonies, because in their testimony, you see their journey and where God's brought them from, and how he brings them through where they're from to live for him and to die for him and to proclaim the gospel, and be an active member of the kingdom and really build the kingdom of God. As you're talking, I know that when I went to the conference, my wife and I went to our first charismatic conference in Cleveland in 1998. In 1997, she was healed of multiple sclerosis. We went to a healing service at an evangelical church, and the people there laid hands on her, and I remember the minister who was there, I believe his name was Mario Murillo, who was the evangelist that was there at the time. Gift of healing, and he asked anybody, if you have an ailment, raise your hand. My wife raised her hand, And then the people there at that non-denominational evangelical Pentecostal church laid hands on her, and they started mumbling. And I had no idea what that was, being a quote-unquote cradle Catholic who had fallen away from the church for about, 15 years or more. And that was my first experience with healing prayer, with the gift of the Spirit. And then I remember asking her sister about, maybe 8 or 9 months later, what was that? And then a friend of ours invited us to the Charismatic Conference. She's like, oh, yeah, we do that too. You know, we pray in the Spirit and we, you know, have good praise and worship and all those types of things. And, you know, God's love was just poured out so abundantly in both of our lives. And through really at the point of the consecration of the Mass, where the love of the Lord just filled me and filled Sandy, and she had such a deep desire to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And we were just embraced in God's love, and it just totally transformed our lives. And if somebody would have told me 15 years ago that I was going to be sitting here interviewing you and even having sharing the microphone with Phil, I wouldn't have believed them. If somebody would have told me that I was going to be a full-time music director at 2 parishes, well, part-time at 1, but I wouldn't have believed that either, because I was just into rock and roll music, and all I wanted to do was, play the guitar. And it's just so, the one thing the Lord did was just, he just cleansed all the rock and roll stuff was gone. Just gone. I didn't have any desire to play it. When I lead worship, none of it comes out. It's gone. And, that's a total transformation that is of him, not of myself. And so it is it's a dramatic transformation, but I want to hear more about this conference that you were at in 2002. After Patty spoke, or even as she was speaking, what else was taking place with you?
Another thing that happened at the conference is, I'm a biprofessional librarian. Mm-hmm. And actually, I had the joy for 26 years at Oberlin of being the librarian responsible for collecting the materials. I was a collection development librarian is what I was called. Mm-hmm. And so reading has always been very, very important to me. So I went into the conference bookstore. We always have a conference bookstore. And Patty had talked about her book, As by a New Pentecost is right. The title of it. It's her witness story, but also, a collection of the stories of the other participants in that first charismatic, event in the church in 1967. And, so I went looking for that book, and of course I found it, and I scooped it up, and along with a few other things. And, after the conference, I devoured it at about, it was a fairly easy read, this is not dense academic treatise, this was good, easy, and wonderful reading, and I ate it up, and I started noticing the books that were mentioned by Patty, and they speak with other tongues, by the name of the author. But anyway, I started reading some of these books, and they too had a big influence on me.
Big influence. Ah, here's someone who has a big influence on me. His name's Paul Wilbur. He's not here in the studio, but we're going to take a break here at the Gift of Grace, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace. I'm Stephen Garchar, your host for this evening. Again, my good friend Phil Giuliotti and his wife are in Israel, so we say hello to them. Shalom. And we are with our friend Eric Carpenter from Catholic Renewal Ministries, and we're talking about the upcoming Cleveland Catholic Charismatic Conference that is going to be held at Regina High School. I'm sorry, Magnificat High School. My goodness. I'm going back to days of yesterday. At Magnificat High School, 20770 Hilliard Boulevard in Rocky River, on Friday, July 20th. The evening session will begin at 7 p.m. to 9:30, and then the Saturday is on July 21st from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. And there are five speakers, David Mangan, Father John Gordon, Deacon Dave Pico, and the Most Reverend James A. Quinn, and Father Robert Franco, who is the bishop's liaison to the Charismatic Renewal in the Diocese of Cleveland. So again, that is at Magnificat High School on Friday, July 20th and Saturday, July 21st. And if you need more information, you can contact Joe or Sue Palmieri at 440-774-1191. You can email them at conference@oberlin.net. That's conference@oberlin.net. And you can also go to the Catholic Renewal Ministries website at crmweb.org. That's crmweb.org. And the registration fees are in advance by July 9th, $30 a person. At the door, $35 per person. Youth, 13 to 19, or $10 per person. It is a very good conference. It's my wife and I have been going to it since 1998. I think Eric has been going to it since 2002. And Phil has gone to the conference, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're a bunch of charismatic Catholics. But more than that, we really enjoy working with people from different backgrounds and really building the kingdom, because that's what we believe that it's really all about. Eric, before the break, and before Paul had his hiccups in the song there, sorry about the technical difficulties, you were talking about some books that Patty Mansfield was talking about in her talk and her witness that really had an impact on you at that conference.
That's right. One of the, you know, the leaders of the Pentecostal revival was David Wilkerson, who is a Assembly of God pastor from a small town in western Pennsylvania, who mm-hmm. received a call from the Lord to actually go to New York City and evangelize, okay. especially to work with youth. And, you know, this was totally outside his experience. I mean, he was pretty overwhelmed by that call. And mm-hmm. so, of course, he tried to somewhat, who, me? You know, not now, Lord. And tried to ignore it a little bit, but it persisted and it got louder and louder. And finally, he talked with his ministerial board of his church, and they gave him permission to go and, mm-hmm. and you know, answer God's call. And it was extraordinarily successful. David Wilkerson became one of the most powerful founding members of the interdenominational charismatic renewal that the Catholic Church got involved in 67. David Wilkerson wrote a book called A Cross and the Switchblade, which is a Pentecostal bestseller. Mm-hmm. And it's really the place where a lot of people get their introduction into the Christian Pentecostal experience.
Right.
And, it's the story. It's his story and the story of his ministry, which is astonishing. When he answered the Lord's call to go to New York City, he started preaching. Again, this is a guy from the country, no experience of the city, let alone mm-hmm. of the inner city and of minority youth. He started preaching particularly to Puerto Rican and African American youth. This is in the late 1950s in inner city New York. It was like the Book of Acts. He started preaching to some of these youth, and he had some, it wasn't all miracles from the beginning. He had some real problems and some real trials. But one by one, he started to reach, and the word of the power of the Holy Spirit started to convict some of these inner city youth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
They turn from their drug habits, They started, you know, conversion experiences. They started evangelizing other inner city youth. And pretty soon David Wilkerson had himself a major ministry to inner city youth. And so this, and he wrote this wonderful book. It was actually made into a movie, I think sometime in the mid to late 1960s, starring Pat Boone. Okay. The Cross and the Switchblade, and you can get it on DVD. It's a very interesting movie. I've got a copy of the DVD. Another of those books is called They Speak with Other Tongues, and it's by a man named John Sherrill, who is a Christian journalist and was commissioned to write this book on the charismatic, you know, renewal of the late 50s and 60s that we're all, you know, kind of descendants of. And Sherrill was not charismatic or Pentecostal himself. And he started to do his, kind of journalistic, non-participatory observer's take on renewal. And he started to feel himself drawn into it. So he talked to his editor and said, look, I can't do this dispassionate analysis that you're looking for because I'm starting to get, you know, really attracted to it. And so his editor, knowing that he was a good journalist and he was going to write a good book, said, write whatever you feel drawn to write. And so he started to write. He said, okay, I'm becoming a participant and I'm going to write about that. And so he wrote this account of a very intelligent guy who was in a, you know, rather cynical profession, journalism. You don't believe anything you see or almost nothing you're told, you know. And he started to, you know, it really softened his heart. And I warmed to that because I had a lot of, you know, I was pretty cynical myself when I got involved in renewal. You know, you learn to distrust people as you go through your life, you know, and you have some bad experiences, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You know, so these are two amazing books, and I read both of them, and they really had impact on me. Wow. And I, so it was, a lot of it was a journey through books.
Now, you were telling me at the break that Patty Mansfield, when they went on this weekend, that they had to read, was it four books?
Well, they were reading the, they were urged to read the first four books of Acts and then these other two, you know, two basically witness accounts.
The first four chapters of Acts and then these other two books.
The other two books that were kind of preparation for their weekend.
Okay. So if you're planning on going to this conference, that might be good preparation for you. It's not a bad idea to read the first four chapters of Acts. There's a lot of stuff there. And how the Lord and how the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early believers, the first believers, the church. So after that conference, and you were talking about how you were thinking about what was happening in your life during that period of time.
Right.
Was it a little bit of a journey for you to go from that conference to,
I had been shepherded, you know, by a couple of good friends, I'm still very close to, and they really brought me to the Lord in the sense of rebirth. And, you know, I knew that they had attended a prayer meeting, so they invited me to come to prayer meetings, and I was very much drawn to do that, so I started going to a prayer meeting with them, and, we were going to a small charismatic prayer group in Strongsville, at St. John Newman Parish, and that prayer group was kind of at the end of its life. You know, it was winding down about the time I got involved. So I was kind of frustrated with the fact that, you know, these trajectories didn't match. You know, mine was getting more intense and this one was winding down. So I started to look for, you know, live, vigorous prayer groups. And, I went first to a festival of praise at Saints Cosmas and Damian Parish in Twinsburg, Ohio. And over in the southeastern, part of the diocesan district. Our good friends are there. That's in fact where you and I met for the first time when you would, help lead praise and worship out there with our friend Denny Carlson. And, that was a very alive and passionate and wonderful prayer group. And so I was very much drawn to that. I really wanted to be where the Holy Spirit was or where I felt the power of God present. And it really was present there. And that festival of praise, I remember, was the end of October 2002. And it was at that event. That was another one of the big events in my journey that I moved from being an observer to being a participant. You know, that was, awesome. It was a very amazing experience at that praise festival. I'm a, a guy who was, you know, came of age kind of in the doo-wop era before hard rock, you know, acid rock at the end of the 60s. And that night it was like I was back in college listening to, it was like the rock music from my early college days, but it was Christian. Mm-hmm. And it was like the two parts of my life just kind of melded together, meshed, you know, mm-hmm. the rock music, but it was Christian. There was a Christian message of praising God. And I it's hard to describe, but that's what really moved me, that said, yeah, I belong here. This is for me. I really buy into this and I need it desperately. Mm-hmm. So then I sought out the first Life in the Spirit seminar I could find after that, which was in November.
Okay.
And I went through a terrible snowstorm to go to that. That's an interesting story too.
So yeah, Jerry and Grace Werbel are from Cosmos and Damien. They have, the prayer group is at St. Cosmos and Damien's. It's every Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Right.
And yeah, my wife and I, after we were baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1998, we ended up going to their prayer group. We shared our witness a couple times there and got drawn into helping with the praise and worship. And we've been there, you know, off and on for, gosh, since 1999 about 1999. And, it's a very spirit-filled prayer group, and the gifts are very operational there, which is a nice place to be at.
And very open and very, very interfaith, too. It's, yeah. You know, predominantly Catholic in orientation, as Robles are and mm-hmm. I am. But very open to anyone who wants, you know, Christians yeah. who want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we frequently have, yeah. you know, Pentecostal folks from that are not Catholic
right.
and anyone, you know, open to the Christian experience of the Spirit.
Yeah. Cause one of the things that we have talked about on the show, Phil and I, is when, you know, you look in the book of Acts and you see the Holy Spirit falling upon, they're all Jewish believers at first. And then you see God pouring out his Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles, the nations. And the first believers, the Jewish believers, they go and they send delegations to these different churches and to see what's going on. Give us a report. What's going on over there in Asia Minor and Antioch? And they see that the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon these Gentiles in full measure. There's no distinction between how much the Holy Spirit is being poured upon the Jewish believer or the Gentile believer. And they see this and they welcome, you know, obviously there's the Council of Jerusalem, but there's some debate that goes on, but they welcome them into the fold. And this is part of, you know, even Jesus himself said, you know, I have another flock that I will shepherd, but there'll be one.
Them fold. Also must I bring.
Right. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. And so, today, sometimes in the church, what we experience is that we have various denominations, and I know I've experienced this because I go to various churches, and there is somewhat of a almost a shock that when they find out that I'm Catholic, they go, "What? How'd you get the Holy Spirit?" But I see this, I just don't see it as far as referencing to myself either. I see it with other people that, you know, there's some people are, you know, in a Protestant church, some people are in an evangelical church, some people are Lutheran church and so forth. And God chooses to pour out his Spirit upon who he wills. And there's no walls of separation
right.
amongst the Gentiles. Because, you know, we go to Ephesians 2 and we see that, that wall has been broken down by Christ. You know, that the separation that he's talking about there is between the Jews and the Gentiles, and that God's created now one new man. You know, we're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's something that I see, and it's unfortunate because the Spirit is at work in those who God chooses and calls, and he doesn't show any distinction.
That's right.
Amongst us Gentiles. Right. So he didn't show any distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles, and he's certainly not showing any distinction among the Gentiles in our time. But that experience of the Holy Spirit, like we're saying, is just a transformative event in anyone's life. And I think there's, now, you're familiar with Father John Gordon?
Yes, sure.
Okay. I know he's going to be at the conference this year. Would you want to share a little bit about him and what your experience has been with
Father John Gordon is a diocesan priest whose home parish is in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But several years ago, he was 5 or 6 to 7 years ago, he was headquartered and or located for a time in at Franciscan University in Steubenville. And he was the director of the pre-theologate program in which young men are discerning whether they have a call to the Catholic priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was there, Jerry Robel and a couple members of the prayer group were down there, and they were down there for Praise Festival, and they had talked with Father Gordon and were, you know, kind of lamenting the spiritual state of their parish in Twinsburg. And Father Gordon said, well, what are you going to do about it? And they looked at him and said, well, will you come up and you know, and help us and do something? And he said, sure. You know, call me up when you get home and I'll check my calendar. If there's a date, we'll do it. Well, turns out the date was in October 9th of 2004. And, I went to that event. It was a day of teaching and it was called The Power of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Father Gordon was teaching on the power of Pentecost and he's going to give a talk on a similar subject, at this conference. And I want to tell you, it was heaven come to earth that day. I took an Oberlin College student with me, who was interested in charismatic renewal. And this young man, I can give you his first name. It's Jared. This young man, encountered the Holy Spirit in great power. He was a practicing Catholic, but you know, he had not, been involved in anything charismatic before.
Right.
And he encountered the Spirit in great power. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. His life was so changed that he started feelings that he'd had about a possibility of a vocation to the priesthood started coming back to him in great power. He experienced some important inner healing in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And his right now he's studying, he's in his third year of, priestly studies in the major seminary and he's in Rome studying for the priesthood.
Wow.
And this is directly traceable to that day at Twinsburg with Father Gordon being
wow.
present. So, praise God. So the theme of this conference is let the fire fall. And we have some very powerful speakers, Father John Gordon among them, Deacon Dave Pecco also, could be mentioned. Deacon Dave, is a retired, Catholic deacon from this diocese who's now living out of state but is coming back to help us out. Deacon Dave was involved with the Alpha program, which some of you might be familiar with,
mm-hmm.
Kind of an introduction to Christianity, sort of Christianity 101, but also involving the Holy Spirit. And so Deacon Dave is came to our parish, my parish is Sacred Heart Parish in Oberlin, and gave talks for an Alpha program that we had that had a lot of power and fruit to it. So
mm-hmm.
there'll be a lot of, it'll be a lot of Pentecostal power and evidence at this conference. And Father John is going to be a big part of that.
Well, I remember that day that, Father Gordon came to St. Cosmas and Damian in 2004. It was a powerful day. And, there's been many of those, not just with the conference, but the, you know, some of the days throughout the year where there's a special day of teaching and ministry. And, you know, as you're talking, one of the things that comes back to me is in Father René Cantalamessa's book, The Holy Spirit in the Life of Jesus, I heard Father Cantalamessa at the Steubenville Conference in, I believe it was 2000 and I want to say 9.
It wasn't 2009. It had been a different year. But in any case, I also saw him there. Might have been 2008.
2008. Okay. I know it's been some years. And one of the things that he talks about in his book, in the Holy Spirit and the Life of Jesus is, you know, the word Christ, because anointed by the Father, he tells that the early Christians that he is called Christ because anointed with the Holy Spirit by the Father. As they saw it, the mystery of the anointing was so important, he's talking about the first believers, that the very name of Christians was derived from it. This is why we are called Christians, writes one of the early believers, because we are anointed with the oil of God. Christians, according to this explanation, did not so much mean followers of Christ as the pagans at Antioch who had been the first to call them this intended, but rather sharers in Christ's anointing. And as I read through this book, and even though I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit for, you know, several years, I realized that, you know, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and the Holy Spirit fell upon him, he was anointed to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to open the eyes of the blind, the lame would walk, and all these things, and are, you know, the Lord himself said, you're going to do these works and greater ones, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So when that happens, when that Holy Spirit falls upon you, we have to remember that we're sharing in the same anointing that came upon Christ in the Jordan and
Amen.
The apostles had. Amen. We're going to take a break here on the Gift of Grace. We'll be right back on AM 1220, The Word.
Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing the praise. Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace, everyone. This is Stephen Garchar, and I'm here with my good friend Eric Carpenter, as you probably already know if you've been listening to the show. Our good friend Phil Giuliotti and his wife Joan are in Israel right now, and they're going to be returning. So he'll be back next week. So we ask for a safe travel for Phil and Joan as they come back from the land. We are talking with Eric about the upcoming Cleveland Catholic Charismatic Conference at Magnificat High School in Rocky River on Hilliard Boulevard, and that will be Friday, July 20th and Saturday, July 21st. If you want more information, you can go to the Catholic Renewal Ministries website at crmweb.org. That's crmweb.org. You can also contact Joe or Sue Palmieri at 440-774-1191. and you can email them at conference@oberlin.net. And Eric, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about the conference and what they might, the speakers and what they might experience
sure.
there.
I think the first thing I want to say is that you can also register online for the conference at www.crmweb.org. In addition to the speakers that we've been telling you a little bit about, of course, charismatic conferences always involve praise and worship. And mm-hmm. we will have several sessions of praise and worship. And I should be the person to say that Stephen Garchar will be part of the music ministry for this event.
I was going to ask you, are these guys any good?
Stephen Sandy Garchar and our mutual friend Denny Carlton.
Yes.
All first-rate musicians. And, you know, we are just delighted in CRM that they help us with the praise and leading the praise and worship. And it's a very spirit-filled and joyful experience. We will also have Mass on Saturday. I have the schedule in front of me, and let's see what time the Mass will be, since this is often an issue for folks. Let's see here. I got to find the Mass.
I think it's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. Okay. In addition to the Mass, we will have a healing service on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I know this is something that a lot of people like to participate in as far as charismatic events and experiences are concerned. We mm-hmm. all need healing, physical healing, inner healing, etc. So, you know, please come, and please come to the healing service on Saturday night. There also will be prayer teams available for laying out of hands and individual prayer for healing mm-hmm. These teams will be available to pray for people who come and really need particular attention and, you know, that kind of grace-filled experience. There's also a bookstore where charismatic books and other Christian-related books will be available for sale. And as I was mentioning before, you know, reading some of these books can be a life-changing experience as
right.
you get to know more about renewal and you read some of the witness stories and you read about the power of God. There will also be exhibits by Catholic Renewal Ministries, CRM, and other Catholic organizations. And wouldn't be a really Catholic event without Eucharistic adoration. And the Blessed Sacrament will be exposed for adoration during the conference. So there's a particular room set aside for this. The mm-hmm. The Blessed Sacrament is there, so you can come and encounter Jesus live and present and present your petitions and your worship to him directly. So that's essentially the you know, the nature of the conference. Worth mentioning again that registration is $30 in advance. That's until July 9th, and then the cost will be $35 at the door. There are also box lunches available at a cost of $6 each. I believe these have to be purchased in advance. So if you want one of those, you need to send in your registration.
Yes, they do need to be in advance.
And you can do that online. You can register at crmweb.org.
Yes, they are. The registration is available online. I did see that yesterday because I went there. You know, as you're talking, and we've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and in the Book of Acts for the last, 4 weeks on this show, and we're talking about the Charismatic Conference, the area of healing and healing prayer and ministry time is so. I think it's so vitally important that. As you know, one of the things the Lord has called me to do is to lead worship, and when we understand that the worship is based on the Word of God, and that the message is based on the Word of God, there's an ebb and flow that happens between the worship and the proclamation of the Word, because it transitions one into the one, you know, transitions right into it, and that worship just opens people's hearts. In a way that sometimes, you know, certainly the word can penetrate a person's heart, but worship opens someone's heart in a different way that, God created music for our enjoyment and for our fulfillment. And I see that he just uses that to open hearts.
And, as I was mentioning a few moments ago, that was part of my experience of my first encounter with charismatic praise and worship at at St. Cosmas and Damien in October of 2002. Mm-hmm. Really an amazing, moving experience of being, you know, I've always had some, you know, inclination to music and singing and the like. But, you know, to be, it really touched my heart and started, it was part of the process of change for me. And it was a huge, an important part, an early part.
You know, and one of the things that the Lord has shown me in worship is that, you know, people come to these events and they come from, everybody's come from a different spot. Everybody's at a different place when they get there Friday night. And it's like being in the outer courts of the temple. And we bring them into the temple, into the inner courts, and then into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of the Lord. And a lot of times it's the worship that takes us into that place of being before the Lord and just being still before the Lord and knowing that He is God. And in those times of that heavy anointing, that first song that we heard, you know, Let the Weight of Your Glory Fall, when the weight of God's glory falls, the weight of the Holy Spirit falls, and you can feel that heaviness, there are just so many wonderful things that the Lord does in people that many times we don't even know that it's, you know, that things have happened. Some people don't even, you know, they should proclaim what the Lord has done, because He's come to, you know, He's brought us out of darkness into His own wonderful light, as it says in 1 Peter. But that encounter with God is what you're going to experience. And if you're hungering for that, if you're looking for that, we would encourage you and invite you to come to the conference. And again, go to crmweb.org to register. It's a wonderful time of praise and worship. It's a wonderful time of teaching. And it's a wonderful time of being in the presence of the Lord that can transform your life. And that area of healing, you know, God wants to heal us. You know, we have broken relationships. We have losses. We have hurts. People have hurt us in the past. As you were saying that, you know, there's, and not just you, but there's every day we can encounter people that are less than kind to us. And many times it's because they themselves are hurting, because they've been hurt. And the Lord really wants to heal us spiritually, emotionally, relationally, psychologically, and physically. And I've seen that on all those levels through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are at the end of another show. And Phil's right, it does go fast from this seat. So, Eric, I want to thank you for being on the show. And again, go to crmweb.org to register for the Cleveland Charismatic Conference. And we will see you back here next week on The Gift of Grace. And we hope that you've had an awesome Lord's Day, everyone. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.